Praise be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Have you ever watched a movie and identified with the character that was just like you? Maybe you have a heart as big as Julia Andrews. Remember from The Sound of Music? Or maybe you have the cleverness of Sean Connery in a James Bond movie. Whoever the character is that you identify with, there's something that identifies who they are, and you share that same quality. Or maybe when you watch a movie, you identify with the character that you wish you were more like. Maybe Harrison Ford from Indiana Jones, or Clint Eastwood from, well, any of his movies. Maybe you see in these characters qualities that you lack and wish you had. Or maybe you see in these characters qualities you lack and know that you should have. Like kindness and grace and selflessness. And in today's gospel reading, we watch a story unfold before our eyes. Now the scene opens up with a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, getting attacked and beaten and left for dead. And then we see three characters enter and exit, each with a surprising reaction to what lay before their eyes. Now the priest and the Levite both pass him by, but the Samaritan shows compassion and he saves this man from certain death. As you watch this play out in your mind, who do you most identify with? Is it the priest or the Levite? I'm guessing not. So maybe it's the Samaritan. Maybe it's the kindness that he has where he sees a need and he addresses it. Is that how you see yourself? Maybe someone who would selflessly respond to the needs of others? Or maybe you have a heart so large that you even look for those opportunities to serve. And this character completely describes who you are. And it's possible, too, that deep down inside, you see the Samaritan as the person that you hope you are, but you're not confident that you wouldn't turn out to be the Levite. Maybe too proud, too busy for such an interruption, and you would just walk on by. But what about the man half dead? Do you ever relate to him? Do you ever desire to be like him? Now maybe that has never entered your mind. But in telling this story, that's exactly what Jesus was proposing to the lawyer who had started this conversation. Now, it doesn't sound like it in the passage, so we have to go back several verses to see the full picture. Last week, we read the previous verses. And starting in 17, the 72 disciples that Jesus had sent out came back. And one had returned saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus replied in part, "Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you." Now listen to this. He goes on. He says, "But rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Now it's just after this that the lawyer stands and asks, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Because of these previous verses, we already know the answer to this question. And it's a simple one. Nothing. We can do nothing to inherit eternal life. For it is by the grace and the will of God, and His alone, that our names are written in the book in heaven. So Jesus places this lawyer directly in the middle of the story as the one who was robbed, beaten, and left for dead. Now, we don't know anything about the background of this character. What nationality he was, what wealth he might have had, nothing. But what we do know is that he will surely die without external intervention. And there is nothing that he or his influence or his money can do to change that situation. Now, the priest that walks by represents the law. And he ignores this man because there is nothing that the law can do to minister him back to life. Regardless of how well he follows the law, knows the law, it won't save him as he lies dying on the road. And so the priest walks on. And the Levite also follows this pattern and he crosses to the other side of the road. Because there's no amount of tradition or Jewish heritage or lineage that can save this victim either. This must have been very difficult for the lawyer. As he heard this, he knew he had pinned his life and his salvation to the scrolls and to the laws of Moses. And there he stood, proud and ready for acceptance into the kingdom of God. But in just that single moment, he learned that eternal life could only be found through the work of Christ. What Jesus was instructing him to abandon was all that he had and all that he had believed in. He was to lie down on that road and die to the world. And there at that point, Jesus would come to him. And Jesus would give him new and eternal life. Now you see, we are on this road too. Some of us were on this road when we were babies. Some of us maybe a little bit older. But we all lay dead and in need of Christ. And as we lay on this road, unable to save ourselves, unable to call for help, Jesus comes to us. He meets us where we are, and through the waters of our baptism, he cleanses and he heals us. He gives us a new life in him and a promise of eternal life with God, our Father. And just as Jesus tells the lawyer to go and do likewise, we are instructed to do the same thing. Out of our response for what Jesus has done for us on that dusty road, we are called to travel down it in search of others who lie dying, who haven't heard the good news, and who are in need of Christ's saving power. And we start in our homes, our immediate families. And it's not enough to just ensure that they are alive in Christ, that they've all been baptized. We are charged with caring for their spiritual needs as well. You see, the Samaritan didn't simply bandage up the victim and send him on his way. He carried him to the inn. And he assured that that man would be cared for, watched over, nurtured, back to health. Are we doing the same for our families? Are we nurturing and feeding the spiritual appetites of our children, our spouses, to ensure that they're being cared for and watched over? Or have we determined that a weekly service and a confirmation is good enough? Now, we expand our circle to include our relatives and our close friends. We can't pick them up and carry them like we can our immediate families. But we can meet them on the road and care for them selflessly. We could promise to never abandon them, even if they reject any offer or assistance. And we can pray for them unceasingly to God to soften their hearts and to be open to our spiritual nurturing. But we're also charged with more than just immediate family and friends. Jesus stated, "But love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." This is a traveler that I find myself most often ignoring on the road of my life. And that's a shame. Because God wants to use me to minister to this person. But I cross to the other side of the road instead. And you see, it's not just him that I ignore in these inactions, but it's also Jesus, who is right there at that very moment, even without me, loving and caring for that person whom I have determined is unworthy of my compassion. And that reality stings. And so as we leave church today, and as we continue traveling down this road of life, I renew the challenge that Jesus gave to this lawyer. And I also challenge you, go and do likewise to your family and to your friends, and especially to your enemies. Let's pray. Lord, we know that you have made us in your image, but we turned our back on you and now find ourselves dead on the road. You have come to us and have brought us new life through the waters of holy baptism, and we are so grateful for that. Lord, we ask you to continue to soften our hearts so that we can recognize others who are in need of your saving power. Give us the desire to set aside our own wants and needs so that we can minister to them in your name. Make plain your desires for how we are to help those we pass every day at work, in school, and in our own families. And finally, grant us the strength and courage to love and minister to those that we would rather see neglected and abandoned. In this, and in your name we pray, amen.